Steady in the Storm is the name of the sermon, the title of the sermon today. And I know that in all of our lives, we actually come up against some kind of a storm. Like we might call it, you know, just like a little storm, or maybe it's like tornadoes. I mean, Dan's over there in North Dakota right now working on tornado damage, right? And so there's these storms that show up in our lives that affect us physically, but there's more to a storm than just a physical storm. There's also a spiritual storm. And I'm not trying to get weird on you, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes we gotta really anchor down and figure out what we're in. What are we in a spiritual storm right now? Are we in a moment where the physical looks like this, but the spiritual is actually needing to look like this? And we have to find that separation. We have to find that. And today we're going to talk about being steady in that. So if you guys want to turn to your Bibles, Acts chapter 27. And in this text, we're reading about Paul. And he was understanding the physical storm that he was in, but he was also understanding the spiritual storm that was going on. So we're going to learn from what he said there. And you know, how many of you guys know there is one that walks with us in the storms, right? We do have Jesus with us. And maybe not all of us in this room actually know that. He doesn't walk with us to be able to sit there and condemn us and point at the things that we do wrong. That's not his job, right? That's not what he does. But he comes through to save us. In the passage, Paul has been in prison in Caesarea for 2 years. He appealed to Caesar, so then he needed to go to Rome for his appeals trial. So he's been in prison for 2 years in Caesarea, and now he's going to go appeal to Rome. I'm trying to remember who it was at that time, but Rome. And he has to take a ship and go down, around, and then over and back up over to Rome. And so that he can appear before Caesar and appeal. So we're going to read about this shipwreck that he's going through, this storm. We're going to be verses 9 through 38. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall. And Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. "Men," he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. And since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, not the one in Arizona, in case you were wondering, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor with only a southwest and northwest exposure. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, called a nor'easter, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted about aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of of Syrtis off the African coast. So they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. If I'm messing up some words, just know it's because my vision, I can't see very well. The next day, I'm getting old. I think that's what it is, like 41. All of a sudden, my arms are getting just barely long enough to read. So I don't know. Anybody notice that in their own life? Yeah, we'll call that a storm. The next day, a gale force wind continued to batter the ship. The crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last, all hope was gone. No one had eaten for a long time. Finally, Paul called the crew together and said, "Men, you should have listened to me in the first place and not left Crete. You would have avoided all this danger and loss. But take courage. None of you will lose your lives, even though the ship will go down. For last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me, and he said, 'Don't be afraid, Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar.' What's more, God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said, but we will be shipwrecked on an island." About midnight, on the 14th night of the storm, as we were being driven across the Sea of Adria, the sailors sensed land was near. They dropped a weighted line and found that the water was 120 feet deep. But a little later, they measured again and found it was only 90 feet deep. At this rate, they were afraid we would soon be driven against the rocks along the shore. So they threw out 4 anchors from the back of the ship and prayed for daylight. Then the sailors tried to abandon the ship. They lowered the lifeboats as though they were going to put out anchors from the front of the ship. But Paul said to the commanding officer and the soldiers, "You will all die unless the sailors stay aboard." So the soldiers cut the ropes to the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just as day was dawning, Paul urged everyone to eat. "You have been so worried that you haven't touched food for 2 weeks. Please eat something now for your own good, for not a hair of your heads will perish." Then he took some bread, gave thanks to God before them all, and broke off a piece and ate it. Then everyone was encouraged and began to eat. All 276 of us who were on board, after eating, the crew lightened the ship further by throwing the cargo of wheat overboard. I think that's where we're going to stop for now. Bring it back to Jesus for a minute. The truth is, we are all in a spiritual storm because of sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, anybody have that memorized? "For the wages of sin," all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God and leaves us drifting without direction or hope. But the good news is that God didn't leave us in the storm. He sent his son, Jesus, to rescue us. And Jesus came, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to take the punishment we deserved. He didn't stay dead. He rose again, defeated death so that we could be forgiven and made new. Just as God promised Paul that everyone on the ship would be saved if they stayed with him, God promises that anyone who stays with Jesus, who puts their faith in him, will not perish but have eternal life. Who knows John 3:16? There you go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So before we talk about surviving storms, let's settle the most important issue. Have you placed your trust in Jesus? Because life is full of storms, but only Jesus Christ can save your soul. I love what we're doing at camp. This last week, we had 3 high schoolers give their life to Christ. Praise God for that. We had 28 that recommitted their life to Christ. And because they felt they drifted away. Yeah. They felt they drifted away in their relationship with God. So praise God, yes. And he's still saving souls in the Clearwater Valley, and it's in our young people as well. So praise God for that. All right. In Acts 27, Paul shows us not just how to survive a literal shipwreck, but how to stand steady when everything around you is falling apart. From his example, we learn 5 principles that will keep us anchored when life gets tough. Does anybody have notes? Do they take notes? If you have notes, or if you take notes, or you want to use your phone, whatever, think about these 5 principles. Write them down in this order as we go. Brace up. Everybody say it with me, brace up. Okay. Lighten up. Cheer up. Anchor down. And don't waver. All right, those are those 5 principles. Brace up, lighten up, cheer up, anchor down, don't waver. So you may have been in a storm you couldn't steer out of, relationally, financially, spiritually. Paul found himself in a literal storm, but his response gives us keys for surviving and thriving, actually, in the middle of life's fiercest battles. Point 1, brace up, verse 9 through 11. Do you have that up there, Kirsten? If not, that's okay. I can just read it. Holler at me if it shows up. Okay. We had lost a lot of time. The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. Men, he said, I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, danger to our lives as well. But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul. Paul discerned the danger. How many of you guys have seen it coming? Yeah? A lot of times we have a pretty good discernment sometimes. We can see it coming. Paul discerned the danger ahead, and he even warned, storms will come, but we don't have to be caught unprepared. Brace up by listening to godly counsel, preparing your heart. Don't ignore the warnings that God puts in our path. There's many ways that we can brace up, but the best way is to focus in. Get not just focused on the danger, focus on the face of God. Focus on who controls the sea. Focus on who controls the weather. That's where we need to focus. That is our brace up. Life storms require spiritual alertness when everyone else is drifting. You need to brace yourself in truth. Read the word. All right, point 2, lighten up. Verses 18 and 19. Awesome. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Lighten up. When the storm rages, let go of what weighs you down. What weighs you down? Sin? Bitterness, distractions. What about misplaced priorities? We can all say, like, hey, we're sinful people. We all know that. Sometimes we focus in on just sin as being the only thing that's pulling us from God, but also it's just distractions. We gotta not forget that distraction in itself can actually draw us from the Lord. Busyness, that's the major factor in my life, right? And so busyness can also pull me away, if I'm not careful, from the Lord. So sin, bitterness, distractions, or misplaced priorities, lighten your load. Get rid of those. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." That's a theme verse for us as we're in camp this year. In this, this year we're in a theme called pursuit. And to pursue, you have to lighten your load. Sometimes we pursue with like so much on our back, and we're just like, "Hey, I'm going to pursue God, but it's going to be in this little window, and I'm going to carry everything else with me to do it." That's too much. It's too much. We're not meant to live like that. We're meant to pursue God and let his load be light, right? His load for us is light. His burden is light. He takes on our burdens. But strip off the things such as sin, bitterness, distractions, misplaced priorities. What do you need to throw overboard? What's not worth sinking for? I want you to personally think about that for just a few seconds here. And then go home and think about it for a few more hours and just really ponder that. What do you need to shake off? What do you need to throw overboard to keep from sinking? A lot of us probably have something that we feel like is weighing us down. It's maybe even causing us to be slow in our relationship and slow in our pursuit of what God is giving us, slow in our direction in which we're going with God. And it might be who knows what. It could be anything. I want you guys to really honestly think about that and think about what might be sinking your ship. All right, point number three, cheer up, verses 21 through 25. Oh, awesome. All right, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage." Notice he didn't spend too much time on like, "Hey, I did tell you." He goes, "But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me.'" So cheer up. In the storm, Paul encourages everyone to cheer up, not because the storm was over. That's a very important piece that we need to recognize. You don't cheer up because the storm's over. You cheer up in the storm. You cheer up even when all hope is lost. It's time to cheer up. That sounds crazy. That's total opposite, but we serve an upside-down kingdom, right? We live in an upside-down kingdom when we're in the kingdom of God. When the storm's all raging, it's time to cheer up. Not because the storm is over, but because God has spoken. The angel reminded Paul, "You must stand trial before Caesar." So God still has a plan for you. Have you heard his plan for you before? Maybe some of you in this room have probably like, you've heard God say something about what he has in store for you. You've listened to that. But then it feels like that happened too long ago. Maybe it happened and it just doesn't look real to you. Like it's possible. Cheer up. God has spoken. And he still has a plan for you. If he's not done, the storm won't stop you. Cheer up. Your future is in God's hands, not the waves. It kind of makes me think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they defy King Nebuchadnezzar and end up getting thrown into the fire that was 7 times hotter. And even their strongest, most powerful soldiers were the ones that threw them into the fire. And the soldiers actually died that threw them into the furnace. And when they look in the furnace at what's going on, they see 4 guys in there. They're like, hey, how many did we throw in there? We threw 3 in there, but there's a 4th person in there, and they're just wandering around. People are dying on the outside because the heat's so hot. But inside, it's so hot, and Jesus is in there. And he's walking through it with them. Not even the clothes on them were singed. It didn't even smell like smoke. When you get done with your storm, if you're walking through it with Jesus, whatever you think it looks like on the outside, don't even smell like smoke on the inside. Don't be affected by the storm that's around you to where you've lost the faith and the hope that's in Jesus Christ. And he will be right there with you through that storm, protecting you and walking with you. Point number 4, anchor down, verse 29. Excuse me. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Look, doesn't mean you're not going to be nervous. Not going to be nervous. And you're still going to be taking on physical action, right? What if Paul was just like, don't worry about it, guys. We're all good. Let's just coast. You know, if God said it, I believe he would have brought him all the way. But that's not what God was expecting them to do. God was expecting them to anchor down, to do the work, continue to sail, continue to work through this storm. There was even time of hunger. There was even time of stress. But anchor down. It looks like all hope could be lost. What time is it? Anchor down time. That's what time it is. All 4 anchors. Put it all in. Go all in. In crisis, the sailors dropped the anchors. We need to anchor down in God's word, in prayer, in community, in hope. And some of us don't want to hear that community part. We'd rather do it by ourselves. We'd rather do it alone. We'd rather just be in our room, study in our Bible, and then leave it at that. But trust me, community, that's it. That's where it's at. We need to go and be a part of a relationship with people as we disciple others, but also we are discipled by others. As we live life with others, other Christians, that's community. Do not stray away from community. And if you have, come back to it. Come find it. Come be in it. Anchor in truth before the trial hits, so you don't drift when it does. Remember, don't just wait for a storm to get to the place where you're anchoring down or bracing up or all that. We can be anchored and ready to fight a storm even before the storm. So I would encourage you to do that as well. Number 5, my final point, is don't waver. Verses 30 through 31. We'll just go 30 through 38. Verses 30 through 38. Perfect. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. They tried to sneak around. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them to all eat. For the last 14 days, he said, You have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you, take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. We're seeing some serious God promotion in this passage to the people that are on that ship. When you're the one that's in the storm and everybody else can see it, and they're all around you, and you're in the storm too, maybe even, but you've got this different kind of peace, this strong word of hope, and you've got this like unwavering stance of who God is, and you're breaking bread, and you're giving thanks to God in front of all the community that's around you. All of a sudden, they're noticing a difference. And they're saying, "I'm in the storm too. I've got no hope, but he's got hope. Why does he have hope? Why does she have hope?" They want to know more about your God. They want to know more about the kind of peace that you bring, which they don't understand yet. And so, like earlier when I prayed, like I want us as a community, not just of this church, but a community of believers in our area, to be that kind of hope givers to the people around us. Not hope as like, "Oh, you're fine, don't worry about it," but like, "Hey, we have hope because God told me. And this is God. This is who God is, my God I serve." It takes courage to stand up like that. So some tried to flee in lifeboats. Paul told them to stay put. Stability came not from escape. You notice how all of a sudden the power shifted in the boat? It was no longer the captain or the centurion that was in charge. All of a sudden everybody looked to Paul. There was a difference in him, even that the worldly power could not help but recognize. Stability came not from escape, but from trust and obedience. So don't waver. Stay with what God told you. Don't jump ship when things get tough. Faith is not proven in calm waters, but in crisis. In Acts 27, they lost the ship, but not a single life was lost because they listened, lightened, hoped, anchored, and stayed. I've actually been to Malta, and that's where they crash landed, was in Malta. And not only did Paul, you know, eventually get to meet up with Caesar, he spent a lot of time in Malta on the way because of their shipwreck. And to this day, there's St. Paul's Church in Malta. There's the statue of St. Paul in a harbor out there. They look to Paul still to this day as an authority, as an image of hope. But not just because it's Paul, but because of who Paul believed in. This is a guy headed in prison, headed on a prison boat for his trial, ends up practically saving the entire island. And to this day, it's still affected by that. I think there's like 400,000 people on that island, and they're most of them are believers. Anyway, it's an amazing place, but you don't know what God's plan is sometimes. And he didn't tell Paul about Malta, it didn't sound like. He told Paul he'll get there. He'll get to his trial, and nobody will be harmed. There was a lot of time that went by. There was a lot of time that went by before he went to that trial. But in that time, he kept hope. He kept his cheer up. He was anchored down. And the world around him changed. The world around him changed because of a storm that landed him there. So not only are we to like look at the storm as our enemy, that's not really how it's supposed to be. Storm could be an opportunity. It's how you look at it. It might feel terrible. But we didn't land on this life for, on this earth for feeling. That wasn't what it's about. It's not about comfort. It's not about feelings. It's about the faith that we have and the love that we have that we carry with us through those storms and we transfer to the people around us. It's the saving power of Jesus Christ. It's inside of us. So thank you, God, for the storms. So we're in the middle of your storm. What's the first one? Brace up. Stand in faith. Lighten up. Let go of what holds you back. What's sinking your ship. Next one. Cheer up. God is still speaking. He hasn't shut up. Sorry, that wasn't on your list. Cheer up. God is still speaking. Anchor down. Plant yourself in him. Be solid. Not because you're solid, but because he is. Plant yourself in him. And five, don't waver. Stay the course, and you'll see his salvation in the storm. Paul was promised, I just got to say it again, Paul was promised to meet before Caesar and do this trial. But that journey was a long journey that was years longer than expected. Some of you might even be starting a storm right now that might be 10 years. Brace up. Lighten up. Cheer up. Anchor down and don't waver. It'll make all the difference in the world. Verse 25 said, "Take heart, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me." Trust in God. Trust in God. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much, Lord, that we have so much stability through you. God, that it's not about the ground that we stand on. It's not about the ship that we're sailing on. It's not even about the car that we drive in, the house that we own. Our stability is in you, Lord. God, that no matter what this world has for a storm, Lord, that we can trust you to do what you want to do with it. God, all these things that maybe we've looked at in the wrong way, God, I pray that we look at them differently. When we look at our storms that we've maybe gone through in our life that have really affected who we believe we are, God, I pray for the ones that have held on to that storm more than they've held on to you. God, the bitterness that brings, God, I pray that we're releasing that today in the people in this room, Lord. God, I just believe that we need just new lenses on what we see when we come up against something. So God, I pray for us as a body today, God, that we have new lenses when we see our storms. God, that we're reminded, because we have renewed minds. God, that we're reminded of who controls the storm. God, that we're reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they can walk through the impossible fire that doesn't make any sense on this earth because you're walking with them. May we be reminded of that this morning. And God, that we praise you in the storm. God, that we not only walk through it, God, but we see just singing your praises, God, as we go through the storms. We spend time in constant communion with you. God, you are so faithful that no matter what this earth or what the enemy or what we even bring on upon ourselves, Lord, we can come back to you. Our firm foundation, Lord. And God, for anybody in the room that doesn't really know your son, Jesus, doesn't know about that saving power, Lord, about him raising from the dead and conquering sin, conquering death once and for all. God, I pray right now that we just have that supernatural ability to just hear truth, God, in this moment. God, that we, if anybody is in here, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, that they wouldn't leave this place in that same state. God, you are so good and so faithful. We love you. We thank you for this message today. We ask this in your name. Amen.